All right. Happy February 7th.
How's it going, Scott?
It's going very well. How about you, Sheldon?
Good, good, good. Things up in Seattle going well?
Going well. And of course, it's raining as usual, so everything's per plan. How about for you?
It's been raining, but it's not raining right now. So it's cooler down here in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, but things are going fine.
Glad to hear it. And welcome to those that are listening today and the archives as well. We've got
welcome to you.
Welcome to Of Course Radio, where we're talking about A Course in Miracles and all the different perspectives and applications of that very thick, voluminous body of material.
Yes, that body of material that we all love to wrestle with and play with, have fun with.
And, exactly.
Yeah, here we go. Should we start off as we always do? I think we like to start off with a little quote and just talk about what something that a quote from the Course in Miracles that might be relevant to even what we're talking about, the planned topic today, which is the ego.
Yeah, that sounds good. How about you start, Sheldon?
Okay. So my quote is from the text, chapter 3. And it's paragraph 2. It's on page 42 of the Foundation for Inner Peace version. And it starts, "Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. Yet, you can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question." So I think that actually answers some of the questions we're supposed to talk about too.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about the course. It sort of answers the same questions in different perspectives, because the quote that I'll read sort of gets to the answer again as well in a different way. But, you know, and something that we'll talk about, because we will, you know, the whole focus of this show is on the ego, is I think you're going to hear the words wrong-mindedness and insane or insanity a lot from the course in reference to the ego. But the quote that I chose was in the text, and it was chapter 6, section 4, paragraph 6. And it says, "Hear then the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all of the questions the ego raises. You are a child of God, a priceless part of His kingdom, where He created as part of Him. Nothing else exists, and only this is real. You have chosen a sleep in which you have had bad dreams, but the sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake. There will be nothing left of your dream when you hear Him, because you will awaken."
Beautiful.
Yeah. I like how it talks, you know, it sort of mentions the ego, but it jumps right to what we should be doing, which is focused on the right part of our mind, or the right-sided part of our mind, metaphorically, of course, that is focused on the truth versus on all the ego stuff.
Uh-huh. Keeps you heading back to that place of awakening, right?
Exactly. Yep. Versus focused on what the ego would like you to focus on, which we'll get into quite a bit on this show.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. Our wildly wacky egos.
Wild, yeah, I think this is going to be a fun show.
The Playhouse.
We were already having fun chatting before the show, so I think it's going to just carry over into this show.
Are we going to do the Howard Stern version? Is that what that was? No.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see how this thing goes.
We'll see what the ego comes up with.
My
but
ego
before we dive into the ego, how about we do a meditation? Get everybody chilled out and
sure.
In the mood.
Sure. So it's my turn, right? So
yeah.
as Scott was mentioning, if you're driving or whatever, you happen to be listening to this, you probably don't want to close your eyes and do a meditation necessarily. You know, you could do it open-eyed, sort of drawing inward while you do things. That's certainly possible, but probably don't want to close your eyes. So if you're listening, we'll just get into this. I'd like to start with a couple of deep inhalations. Taking a nice, full, complete exhalation and compressing the stomach as you exhale. Allowing these breaths to bring you into present moment awareness, into your body, to relaxing the body, making it comfortable. And as you focus on the breath, it naturally gives the mind permission to let go and release thinking about the day, about the future, about the past. And you just bring your awareness into the breathing. And as the mind begins to quiet, you can visualize a sphere of radiant, shimmering white light, like an orb in the center of your chest. And as you picture that radiant ball of luminous white light, it begins to awaken and grow brighter. And expand, filling your body with light. And as you open your heart and you allow that sphere to expand beyond the scope of the physical body, fills the room and the space that you're sitting in with light, connects to the light from those you might be around. And you can visualize and see the light encircling the entire planet and radiating throughout the universe, and connecting with all of creation. You're allowing whatever thinking that might arise to simply arise. And you allow it to pass away. Like soft, gentle waves rolling underneath you. You're floating on a sea of light. Intimately connected and one with all of creation.
let your light shine. Let the light of love illuminate your thoughts. Let it radiate and inform the words that you speak. Let it guide the actions that you take, so that all that you think, all that you say, all that you do becomes an absolute expression of light and love and compassion and joy and peace. To bring my hands together in prayer at the end and conclude with thanks for this time of communion. And that's it. There you go.
Thanks, Sheldon.
How was that?
Well, on my end, that felt really, really wonderful.
Cool, me too.
Yeah.
Hopefully anybody who might hear that might feel the same.
That would be nice.
Cool, cool, cool.
But yeah, I think it's, again, a great reminder of you can connect anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I love how you connected first through the heart.
Might all kind of do the same. I tend to always bring it into the breath. The breath brings you into kind of present moment awareness back into your body and then up into the heart and then opening the heart in some level and feeling a connection. And that's sort of it. It's sort of what I do all the time.
Yeah.
The pattern that will always unfold.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to get, you know, a lot of the meditation stuff that's out there talks about, well, just don't have any thoughts. And a good way to get around that is to start an access through your heart.
Yeah, yeah. It's just allowing. I think that the mind that's completely in a space of allowing is quiet. You know, it's like when you try to generate quiet, you're thinking.
Right.
You're active.
Yeah. Which, yeah, all that thinking is really, it's really the ego.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The pulling it right back into the subject for the day.
Exactly, yeah.
What is the ego?
What is that thing, that crazy ego thing? Literally, crazy ego. So in all of your years of reading about the Course, reading the text, doing the lessons, how do you understand the ego from your perspective?
I look at the ego as my ego is just a part of me in this, in this, you know, form here. We're here in this dimension in a body. It's a part of you. It's like a little child. It can be a very bratty little child and kind of a spoiled, rotten little bratty little child sometimes. And like children that misbehave, if you can love them unconditionally, they tend to quiet up and behave better. So that's kind of how I look at it. It's not, you know, it's not about, for me anyway, I don't look at it as, you know, getting rid of the ego or trying to stop the ego or trying to, you know, overcome it or anything like that. It's more like it's just like the meditation. As you quiet your mind, as you allow things to be, everything settles down, including the ego. So it becomes less of a brat, and it's there. It's part of, you know, existence in this world. but you don't pay as much attention to it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as you connect into the heart, then you become guided through the heart, right? And so the mind, the mental cognitive mind functioning, which is part of the egoic functioning, it's like they say what the mind is, you know, the loyal servant to awakened heart, right? So
right.
That you use your mind as a functioning of how do I love better? How do I show compassion? And what is the most compassionate thing to do? What is the most loving thing to do? How do I, you know, how do I share that for myself in this moment? All of those things about love and expressions of love, you know, are manifested and made through mental functioning thinking in this moment, right?
But mm-hmm.
So it becomes, you're working through that function, through the egoic function, really, on some level you call it, it's still an ego, right? It's still there, but it's now in alignment with your open heart, open and connected heart. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I like to tie it back to, you know, the last show that we had, which was on the metaphysics of the Course. You know, just I think it is important to understand, at least the, you know, how the Course explains how we and the universe and everything was created, which was that initial moment of there was some decision made, and really that was the I guess the singularity of the ego being created, which was like, I want to try and do this separate from God, and then immediately there was a split.
Right.
And so your right mind is still there and perfect and whole with God. And all of a sudden, this wrong-minded and as the Course talks about a lot about this insane part, said, I just did something really bad. I'm a very, very bad thing. And because we are of God, we're very powerful in our minds. And so what it decided to do was splinter and separate even more and more and more and more until, you know, we get what we think we see around us. And so there's this, you know, microcosm ego, which is you and I appearing to be separate. We're having what we think is our own experience, but it's really tied to this greater mind, ego mind. That's why I think when I always like to be careful when people say, oh, I'm one with the universe. It's like, well, okay, that's nice, but are you one with the part of your mind that's still insane? You know, you're just mm-hmm. connected to the stars and the other stuff that the ego mind's created, or are you really tied back to God? Because that's really what it's about, because the ego is going to keep distracting you and tricking you in lots of different ways to stay separated from God. Because I mm-hmm. think, I forgot where it was in the Course. I know like chapter 4 of the text just goes on and on a lot about the ego, I think 5 and 6 too, but it talks about anytime you try to bring your mind back to God, it's going to be your ego mind is just going to be really afraid and try to continue to run from that original split. And so what it's trying to do is repeat that running away, and it loves things like guilt and shame, and especially if you project it outward on other people.
I think one of the interesting ego tricks is boredom. And and you know, I've seen this a lot with people who are doing the Course. They start doing the work. They start to connect with and understand and feel what the ego is all about. And so the ego, like you were saying, it's like a being, it's like a child, and it senses this undoing.
Yep.
And starts to create ways to distract the person from this path that's, you know, undoing it. And one of them is boredom. It's just like, yeah, this isn't it for me anymore.
Yeah.
You know? It's not doing it. You said, I thought it was cool. Let me try something else and read that book over there. Go to that workshop over there. So that it goes back to this process of projecting and searching for something outside of you, right? As a solution that's outside. Oh, I read that book. I read this thing. Because the Course is always directing you inward, back inside, to look inside at you, not to seek outside. And I think that one of the really subtle but potent ways that it does, the ego works, is you start to feel the sense the undoing, it'll actually distract you into boredom, through boredom, and say, no, this isn't, you know, let me try something else.
Exactly.
That workshop looks exciting.
Yep. And that's where, yeah, the whole boredom is linked to how the ego loves the body, which, mm-hmm. as we talked about in the last radio broadcast, you know, the metaphysics that, you know, I think there is this false idea that God created the body. Well, no, it was really the ego, because that's such a great way to get distracted and lost and not think about God. If you're worried about not keeping your mind or body and, mm-hmm. you know, entertained, not distracted, not bored. And of course, the more you can rope in thoughts or other people or your own body into that distraction, the happier the ego gets, because it doesn't have to look back on that original separation, which is really where God is. And so it's just going to try every trick in its book. And it's very, very creative and very can be nasty at times to keep you away from that, the reality of yourself, which is you're still there with God.
Right. And it talks about, you know, the ego, the body's the ultimate manifestation of the thought of separation, right? That we're actually in separate yep. bodies. We're one and connected, and yet we appear completely separated, a separate right. physical body. And that's a manifestation of the thought of separation.
Yep. And yeah, this whole idea, like, you know, people like to say, look how miraculous the body is. Look how amazing it is. And that's why the ego is so devious, because it's like, yeah, it's pretty remarkable in what it does. But at the end of the day, it dies. You know, and the Course is kind of like, well, that's insane, because God would never create anything that dies. God would never create anything that's temporary. You know, like, you have a great head of hair when you're young and you lose it when you get old. Yeah, that's not God doing that. That's definitely an ego thing, because it's, you know, it's always about change and distraction. And, oh, now I got to focus on my hair loss. I got to go out and get medicine for it or Chinese herbs and fix that, you know.
And it that's that whole building your house upon sand versus stone, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rock, foundation of what is your truth, what is real, what is your reality, not mm-hmm. your truth in a relative perception, but what is the truth of who you are, of what you are. And the other thing, though, is, you know, when you're getting into kind of like looking at the ego and okay, the body's is radiating love through that, because it's the love that will heal the thought of separation. So it becomes loving the body in the sense of compassion, in the sense of taking care of. It's not in the sense of, like, even Buddha talked about extreme asceticism, where people are like, oh, I'm not connected to my body, I don't need to eat or whatever, I'm going to fast. Mm-hmm. And that some of those practices are actually forms of attachment to the body. It's a mm-hmm. form of denial, where they're pushing away something out of fear, oftentimes, right? Like, I'm not a body, and I don't want to. I become afraid of indulging the body or whatever. I'm going to get caught up, so they push it away on this other polarity, this other extreme of denial, to where it's just another form of kind of. That's another egoic hook into preserving it on a certain level, right? Mm-hmm. It preserves the thought process of that as something. You make it real. What you fear, you make real, and you hold to you. So
right.
It becomes, you know, this process of allowing radiant light to shine through everything and to connect to everything. And that means taking care of the body, right? Not from a fear base, but from a loving, compassionate, accepting place. So this is where I'm at. This is, you know, and this is my vehicle for communicating love in this dimension at this time. And let's use it.
Right. I think, and yeah, I think the Course is really clear about that. It mentions several times that basically just if you, you know, continue to choose or just really hand over your thoughts and your body to the Holy Spirit, you kind of allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it, which means you're just sort of along for the ride, and you kind of let Holy Spirit sort of guide you along the path. And, you know, maybe that it could be something along the lines of figuring out a way to heal a disease or to accept the disease. I mean, I think it's going to be different for each person, or each person's, I guess, you almost could say lessons. You know, that is kind of the point of the Course, is we're all here for our own different lessons. You know, someone might be here to figure out or to learn how to heal cancer. Well, someone else might just learn how to accept it and just be okay with it. You know, I don't think there's one right answer, but if you're always working with Spirit or God, then whatever's happening with your body really doesn't matter.
Right.
And again, what I love, you know, we talked about Disappearance of the Universe, Gary Renard, the two ascended masters in there. I mean, the thing that always blew me away was talking about how when Jesus was crucified, that really he felt no pain. He was that associated with spirit. It just didn't matter. Mm-hmm. That just blew me away.
Yeah. It's pretty pretty intense.
Yeah, and to think that, yeah, I mean, that's our right to achieve that mastery. Because I know, I can't remember what chapter, but this, I was reading it this morning, and it just, again, it's like always these little mind-blowing reminders, like, hey, the ego is always going to want to choose pain as a way to learn. But you don't have to choose that path. Holy Spirit wants you to learn in peace. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's chapter 4, section 6, paragraph 3. Learning through rewards is more effective than learning through pain, because pain is an ego illusion and can never induce more than a temporary effect. That kind of blows away that whole notion that we always hear, no pain, no gain.
Right.
Totally different way to get through all this stuff. Why not enjoy it? Why not feel pain? Why not just heal your mind with the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Because the ego wants you to feel pain, because it wants you to identify with your body, just loves it.
Right. That self-flagellation aspect of
right
punishment, right?
Yeah. But guilt that, that's, and punishment. Yeah. And just, it's not to downplay or just to put aside people that are going through pain and are experiencing it. I mean, that's, we all are going through that and we're learning how to deal with it. I think the Course is just saying you can keep choosing and asking for help in a different way. Mm-hmm. And maybe you won't feel pain in this lifetime, or maybe you still will, and that's just part of your lessons. But the right. ego just would love for you to suffer because of it.
Right. Right.
That body, I tell you. Like, I don't know, if you get aches and pains, Sheldon, is there anything that you kind of do that's Course-related to help? Or maybe some, even, you know, some of the metaphysical stuff is helpful too, because that's a sign of the mind healing.
I mean, I have like an eczema on my hand and feet, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just something that I do, you know, hands-on healing. I can lay hands, right, and stuff like that. I think that for a long time, I felt like, well, obviously, you know, how do you help somebody heal? How do you lay hands and heal somebody if you have, you know, this, you know, defect or whatever you want to call it? Your body's not right. How could, you know what I mean? Like yeah. that was a big ego thing for me for a long time, where I yeah. thought, you know, I can't be a healer and be unhealed. You know, that this, you know, my body has to be perfect in some way, or you know. How else does a healer, if a healer can't heal himself, then how can he heal others? That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So,
That's a classic one from the ego. Yeah.
Yeah. Total classic. Ego.
Definitely but, can relate to that one. Yeah.
So it kind of just became process of accepting. And that's my big thing, is accepting everything that comes up as much as you can. And if you're resisting something, then figuring out how to release that. Where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. So, but I don't have really, like, anything that necessarily is debilitating or painful.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, that's not one of the lessons that I've had to deal with at this time yet. You know,
okay. Yeah.
But how about you?
Yeah, I've got just a couple quick examples. One, I mean, I definitely would get migraines a lot when I was younger. And then as an adult, I would still get them. And when I would get them and I started learning the Course, you know, I'd do a lot of trying to do forgiveness thought systems while I was going through it. I remember being in the back of someone's car, just in a lot of pain, but I kept going through doing a lot of forgiveness thought systems and calling in Holy Spirit. And it, you know, it got me through that experience without me, you know, either getting sick. I was able to get back up and start participating. I mean, it was down for like probably an hour, but I noticed it helped a little bit, but I got some help for it. Like, I know my wife Mary did some hypnosis on me, and it actually got rid of migraines for a while. But then they actually came back, because there was another lesson I realized I was meant to learn, and that was related to, and this is kind of funny because it was related to diet and my body. I was so attached to different certain foods, and I always knew in the back of my mind I would have to let go of certain foods like gluten. And I was really resistant and really fighting it. But since I've changed the diet and kind of gotten healthier, I've not had a single migraine.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's a great example of sometimes the body is used as a teaching aid, because it taught me I was getting migraines. I wanted to heal that, but I was so attached to food. And that was the link for me. And it was like, oh my God, got caught up again. You know, I was just, the body's so important. You got to put certain foods in. I had this belief system and I learned from that. I'm still learning.
That's cool.
Yep.
And I think that also is that thing about denying the body, where you still have to, you know, it's still, you know, it's your vehicle for expressing love. It's your vehicle for communicating in this lifetime, right?
Right.
And it needs to be taken care of. And, you know, if you need to change the foods to do that, if you need to, you know, take some medicine, you take it.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't get into judgment about, oh, you know, I shouldn't ever have to take an aspirin again in my life or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we're still in human form and in bodies, and we still have to work with that. So being compassionate towards yourself about that, in that regard, in terms of whatever needs to be done in order to feel healthy and good so we can keep moving, you know, it's okay to do that.
Yeah, because I think the Holy Spirit can use the example of the body to help heal your mind, because it is kind of convincing the right side of your mind and the ego to trust it some more. Like, I was holding on to this idea, like, if I gave up these foods, I would suffer. And what I found is I'm actually enjoying food just as much, if not more, and I feel better for it. Which is the metaphor for, if you keep going back to God, you're not really giving up all these things. You're getting so much more.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm sort of getting this lesson a little bit more, but it was through my body. So it's kind of interesting.
That the idea of sacrifice,
that's
actually not possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing to sacrifice, because you're really trying to just undo this insane part of your mind.
I think I wanted to read my quote again.
Okay.
Because I think it's kind of getting right into this. It says, consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. So that's that whole idea of, you know, subject-object. When you're in perception, there's something that you're perceiving, which means there's a separation, right? Which is not possible. Yep. So it immediately is the fact that there's a perceiver and a perceived means you're in separation, and that's what consciousness was.
Yep.
So making consciousness correctly identified as a domain of the ego, the ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are, because in truth you are one with God, one with all creation. You can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question. The ego is the questioning aspect of the post-separation self, which was made rather than created. So, anyway.
That's really good. Yeah, there's so many great little reminders and different perspectives on either what the ego is or what it represents. Like, again, chapters 4 and 5 are pretty heavily about the ego. And there's like a couple concepts that, you know, just good reminders. Again, like the whole, there's a quote here, chapter 5, section 5, paragraph 2. If the ego is the symbol of the separation, it is also the symbol of guilt. Guilt is more than merely not of God. It's actually the symbol of attack on God. And this is a totally meaningless concept except to the ego. But do not underestimate the power of the ego's belief in it. This is the belief from which all guilt really stems.
And I think that one of the things, and I've already said it, that you see when people start to see that and understand that, is that there's actually a fear of the ego that is generated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is a egoic self-preservation mode that's kicking in, right? Your ego wants to stay in charge, so it creates, oh wow, look at this description of the ego, and then your ego generates fear of that. So then it's like, oh my gosh, I need to attack that, or I need to, you know,
destroy it.
Destroy the ego, right? I need to, you know, I'm afraid, you know, I can't do that, you know, and people want to kill the ego.
Yep.
Or deny the ego, or kill off the ego, or and so in doing that, you're creating another level of separation. Once again, you just manifest. You've just looped right into
this
like puzzle that you know.
Trying to make you're basically making the ego real, which is what it wants.
Right.
Versus all you have to do is, again, the course is just like, hey, it's simple. It's just every moment is a choice. Instead of siding with ego stuff, which could be caught up in so many different ways, it's just remember, you're still at home with God. It's that easy. Just keep remembering that over and over again. So it's not about, killing or destroying or getting rid of. It's about remembering who and what you really are. That's it.
And when you start to connect back into that through the process of love and forgiveness and releasing your own guilt and loving yourself, is that you start to look at that egoic thought play with compassion. And then it becomes like just a, you know, a little brandy little child, and you just hug it.
Exactly. Just
pull it in and hug it. And there's no fear generated by the fact that, you know, the mind can have crazy thoughts. The mind can have violent thoughts that float through. But if you're not fearing them and energizing them and attacking them and trying to push them away, which is, like you said, making them all real. And on a metaphysical level, when you add energy to a thought like that, you actually manifest it, and so you replicate it. You just simply look at it with compassion, which is what, you know, what we're here to do, is look on all of creation through the eyes of love and compassion. So including the wacky egoic thoughts that we all have, and our crazy egos that are, you know, full of guilt and full of anger and full of all kinds of weird little thoughts and, you know, ideas that aren't very loving. But can we love those? Because if we can love those, the ego in ourself, we start to love it with, look on that with compassion. Then we look at the other people who are seemingly outside of us, right? When they're caught up in their egos, which everybody is pretty much, right? And what does the Course say? The Course says there's either, you know, expressions of love or calls to love. Because when you're in your ego, you're calling for love. And that person might be behaving in a way that seems attacking or, you know, very nice or whatever. But really, they're in their ego calling for love. And when you really start to connect to that and see that, both in how you operate and how they operate, and you see the sameness, right? Not the judgment, but we're really all alike because we're all really all connected and we're really all going through the same process. And you see, you start to recognize the equality and the sameness of all of us, not because another ego trick is we tend to either exalt and lift somebody else up above, or we put somebody down below us. So we don't look at each other as equals and same. So, oh, that person, oh my God, Jesus is amazing, right? You put them up on a pedestal, or I can't believe you'd do something like that. You know, I would never do something like that, right? And you judge. So a person is below, or a person is exalted and up above. And we don't see, you know, that we're all the same. And when you start to see the sameness and you start to connect to the egoic that in yourself and in the other person, and then you start to really see that that's just a call for love, then compassion arises naturally. Then you just say, wow, that person's just in a lot of pain right now. And you might you might still have to stop what the action is. You might still have to say something. You might still have to remove yourself. You might still have to say, excuse me, I'm going to go over here. But you do it from a place of absolute love and compassion and quietness in your own mind. You don't trigger into judgment and attack. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, because the Course says, you know, the ego uses projection only to destroy your perception of both yourself and your brothers.
Right, right.
It's always trying to do that. And that's why I think it's, again, our job is to just kind of ignore that projection or that tendency to want to do it, because it's going to be there regardless, because we're part of this collective program. You know, it's sort of like a software program that's running, and there's always going to be that part of your mind that's trying to run it, and you're just ignoring it, basically, or just getting out of it.
Right.
Like, as a metaphor, I've noticed that there's been like this, I don't know if you hear it, Sheldon, but like a high frequency pitch thing going on. And it was, I was kind of thinking about it earlier going, it's kind of like the ego. Like you could really get distracted by it. It could really, you know, maybe upset you or distract you. But really, our job is not to focus on that and just allow
I'm
that.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
No. It was a whole practice for me right here live and in the moment.
Yeah. Well, it really is. It's a great metaphor, totally actually. Awesome. I thought it was perfect. I was like, man, this is so funny because we're talking about the ego and being distracted. And I'm like, this is exactly what's happening. And then first it was sort of like, oh, I'm kind of bothered by it. And then it was, okay, I just need to sit with it and just kind of allow it to be there. And then, of course, now as we're talking and focusing on what we want to focus on, most of the time I forgot about it.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we're trying to do in our lives, you know?
It's so perfect. I'm glad you brought it up because that actually totally was like, wow, this is it. I could jump into ego and say, man, what the hell's going on with this? There's a big old noise going on and get pissed.
And that's exactly, yeah, it's actually the ego voice, right? Oh, da-da-da-da-da, I'm all pissed off. I'm going to get irate. I'm going to do something about this, and I'm going to go after something or somebody.
How's my meditation supposed to happen in silence when there's this ringing going on? I can't do that.
this noise, which is no one has any control over whatsoever, is going to bust up your heart-centered meditation. And
right. That actually flashed through when I was doing that. That's totally funny. and it's like, I do meditation in an auto body shop, you know, and I've meditated with my coworkers and taught them how to meditate in the middle of, you know, cutting chisels, bah, 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 you know, going in the background, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's connecting to that place within you. It has nothing to do with what's outside. But at the same time, when we were doing this and I got this little thing, I was just like, hey, man. And I ran through a whole little release on that.
Yeah.
Right in the first minute or so. So that's really funny. And then, like you said, by the time you brought it up, I had forgotten it was even there. I wasn't even, you know. Like,
yeah, it's totally gone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm hearing it like crazy. Damn it. Yeah, see, got me crazy again.
But that's so great because that's exactly what the ego does too. It's like, oh, you forgot about me. Well, I'm going to figure out a way to get your attention back again. And that's why it feels like when you practice the course, you take a step or two steps forward, but then there's usually a step backwards. And at least for me, that might not be the case for everybody, does happen. You just be gentle with yourself.
Yeah. One of the other things that'll happen is your healing buttons and triggers. If you heal it, like it's like if somebody behaves a certain way and that upsets you, it's like a trigger, right? And the reason that it's a trigger, that person's behavior is a trigger, is because you have a button, right? You have a button. It's an emotional wound. In the Four Agreements, he talks about we all have these wounds. It's like scabs that are infected over an infection, right? And so you touch it and it radiates pain, searing pain through your whole body. And so you have to take the scab off, expose it, right? Expose the wound to the light of day. And when you do that, it heals. And as you do, then you surrender it, release it to Holy Spirit. So of course we talk about, and as you do that, then the wound heals. You might have some scar tissue there, but you don't have an infected scab.
Right.
And then basically the button's gone. So what I noticed when going through this process is somebody would behave in a certain way that used to be a trigger for me, and they would behave in that way, and I wouldn't even react. Like, because when the button's gone, you're not saying, oh, I am a good spiritual person. I shouldn't get mad at that person. You're not shooting yourself. I shouldn't think like that. You just don't think like that anymore because the button's gone, right? It's healed.
Right.
But one of the steps for me was when you're going through this process is like 2 hours later, I would be like, are you really going to let that guy get away with that? Like I totally didn't react in the moment. Like, didn't even think about it. I wasn't feeling it. And then 2 hours later, is that guy punking you? You gonna let that guy punk you like that? Because a lot of mine had to do with being made a fool of and stuff like that, right? Getting away with something and guys in my shop and all that. You gonna let that guy do that? Really? Really? You're a weak manager. You're not a man. You're not a all this kind of stuff would come up. And what was interesting was when the button started to heal, I wouldn't feel the reaction in the moment. But 2 or 3 hours later, I could feel it. Like you would get me on the back. I used to say it's like getting you on the backside. It's like, you know, it's coming at your face, you know, this thing is coming at you in your face. And in that moment, you're on your game, or you're aware, or you're not even, you're in peace, and you don't even react. And then the ego taps you in the shoulder from behind like 2 hours later and goes, whispers in your ear going, you really going to let that guy get away with that? Really? What kind of a manager are you? Are you a punk right now? You know, and it would start to whisper in my ear on the backside like the next day, 2 hours later. And I found myself getting as worked up.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours later, a day later, as sure. if it was right in that moment, and furious, raging, like anger coming up over like, wow. And I wanted to go back and then rip somebody's head off.
Yeah.
And so, and then, you know, you have, there's the whole thing, you do it all over again, right? Wow, what's mm-hmm. coming up? And you're going through the whole process of seeing what's coming up, of forgiveness, of release, you know, and going through it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely can pull little, you know, it can pull, it can happen at any moment. It's definitely that aspect of being alert and aware.
Yep. Yeah, and then I think also to realize that even though you might, maybe you're having a personal experience, or maybe you're just getting these random thoughts, I think, you know, one, it's just not to take a lot of responsibility for it, because again, this is happening on a big metaphysical scale, that the ego is playing all this, all these tapes over and over again in different ways, you know, like, you know, as channeling, the one metaphor that sticks with me is the universe is like the movie War Games. It's just playing these game simulations over and over again, you know, these war games, basically, you know, in our case, in our lives, it just looks differently. But at the end, the simulation will basically just end and realize this is just ridiculous. Why do I want to be at war with myself or with all these other what appear to be different people? Because I've learned that we're all the same, we're all spirit, and we're all with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to read one quote, because I think it kind of helps in my mind explain also some of the spiritual, I guess, ego tricks that are played, you know, like in the Bible and things like that, about what the second coming is, or revelation, or rapture, you know, because it's always people interpret as the body, but the Course says like the second coming of Christ, which is really revelation, or you could call it rapture, means nothing more than the end of the ego's rule and the healing of the mind. You know, nothing to do with the body.
It's beautiful. It's because, I mean, it's an embodiment of that light, of that presence, of the Christ light, of Christ's presence, right?
Yep.
Of allowing that into full expression. Which is kind of what I was doing in that meditation. What I kind of like to do is like, you know, when you going within, releasing any wounds or anything that might, you know, make you separated, right? And you go in, you make, you connect,
mm-hmm.
bring that connection forward through this body, right? So that the body becomes a vessel, a means, a tool for the expression and radiance of love, right? So it's a, you know, and some people will call it like a transmutation. I think St. Germain uses that language, right? A transmutation of the energy of separation into the energy of love and compassion. Mm-hmm. So that everything, and that's what I say, everything that you are thinking, saying, doing, moving, so that this life, this dimension of separation becomes an expression of absolute communion and love and compassion in all that you're doing. You know, that's what that thing's talking about, right?
Yeah.
I forgot what it said.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it said, I think it had something to do with that.
Yeah. And I think that's why, again, you know, the body can be useful, because I think it is a meter for what's going on consciously and subconsciously, which is why I think, you know, the Louise Hay stuff is pretty interesting, or other people that have mapped emotional issues to what's going on in the body. You know, like I think a lot of cancers, they think are linked to like anger, just classic ego, just wanting to, you know, it's just angry at a metaphysical level for separating and thinking it's separate from God and just hating everything and everyone, you know, or people lock in guilt, and that's going to show up in a lot of different ways. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit says it's important not to hide anything from me. But I think the body starts to show signs that you are hiding things. especially emotionally or subconsciously. And, you know, when cancers or diseases come up, it's a really good, you know, I think first, you know, be responsible, go see a doctor. Personally, right. I'd like to say that. But right. then the course, you can start to heal things on such a huge level that you may not have to deal with those body things anymore, but it's a good meter for you.
It's when you are open and you allow the Holy Spirit and you surrender to that and you shift away from egoic perception, you are opening the doorway for miracles, right?
Yep.
So that when you're shifting perception, that's already a miracle. So the manifestation of how that miracle can manifest in this form is unlimited. There is no order of level of difficulty in miracles, right?
Yeah.
That's what it says at the beginning of the course with the miracles. There's no order of difficulty. There's no level of difficulty.
Yeah.
And any shift from perception of fear and ego-based stuff, thinking into love and compassion, is already a miracle. The level of how that miraculous miracle mindedness manifests into human form is unlimited.
Yep. And
I've had friends in our group who have had major things. I've known a couple of people who, through the process, have had lumps, cancerous looking lesions where they were getting ready to go into surgery. Multiple people, more than one, where they just through forgiveness, through release, through sending love and light into their own bodies, to themselves, into old wounds that might have been the cause, emotional stuff, patterns that'll come up. Because when you have something like that come up, there's always deep fears that will come up with it, right? And mm-hmm. so that those fears, if they're looked at and released and surrendered, and then your will becomes in alignment, not my will, but thy will be done, right? And boom, so yep. be it. Right? And that openness, and then you are shifting into that miracle mindedness, right? And you're allowing. Have had people, go back a month later, getting ready for a surgery and say, oh, there's nothing there. I've had multiple people have that happen too.
Yep.
So there is no limit in those kinds of things and what can shift and what can happen for somebody that is willing to look and release. I think that's the hardest thing, is really looking, right? Really looking at the fear and really holding it without getting caught up into it, and then the ability to let go and surrender. Yep. That's the trick.
it is, yeah. I think we'll probably be doing a whole show on healing. Yep. But I know we're getting close to the end of our show here. And first, I just wanted to read one more quote from the Course, because I think it is important to distinguish between the reality of where we're at, but then how the ego's working to kind of prevent us from experiencing things. It just says, this is chapter 4, section 4, paragraph 9. Your ego cannot prevent him from shining on you, but it can prevent you from letting him shine through you. And I just...
Can you read that one again for me?
Yeah. The ego cannot prevent him, capital him, so God, from shining on you, but it can prevent you from letting God, him, shine through you.
Through you, yeah, exactly.
Because the ego is this big filter. It's trying to block out that light because, again, it's all the guilt and fear and anger.
Because you have free
separation.
Will.
Yeah. Because right? God's not going to go in and go, you're wrong.
Right. You have free will to choose to stick your head in the sand or whatever you want to call it. Because it doesn't change the reality that you're in that light, you are that light. But you can choose to not be aware of it and not express it in this moment.
Right. Yeah, because getting back to that little child thing, I guess the metaphor is God isn't standing there going, slapping the child or trying to shake it and wake it up. It's just sort of like, I love you, I love you, I love you. Right. And eventually the child will return. But for now, he's letting the child have its tantrum and not doing anything about it, because there's nothing to do about it, because that tantrum is an illusion. It's false. So here we are. That was a great way to wrap up the ego.
I think so.
And I guess before we sign off, again, our website, ofcourseradio.com. And Sheldon, you want to talk about AUM real quick?
Artsunitymovement.com. Check out, we are in the process of updating that website. I don't think it's live with the new updates yet, but the calendar is updated. We have all kinds of great things going on almost every night of the week. We have a healing night that rotates through different types of healing expressions, through sound and drumming, through Reiki, laying of hands on second Thursdays, through art. We have intro to meditation on Monday nights. There's all kinds of stuff that are going on through artsunitymovement.com in San Mateo, California, 149 South Boulevard. Check us out. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have your participation if you're interested. We're also doing Course in Miracles Wednesdays from 7 to 9. So Wednesdays, 7 to 9 p.m., 149 South Boulevard. Open to everybody, all kinds of, you know, levels of experience and participation, or, you know, just a desire to work with the Course.
All right. Excellent. Hopefully everyone checked that out. And thank you, Sheldon. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother. Thank you.
Happy forgiving to everybody else.
Hope you enjoyed it.